Okay, welcome back to the new podcast, the third edition actually of new podcast of Let There Be Light. So it's an ongoing challenge to find light amongst the darkness that we are always confronted with. There seems to be darkness wherever we turn around, and where are we going to find the light among the heavy darkness that we find ourselves in? So I'm recording this podcast from sunny Jacksonville, Florida. You know, we're fortunate to live in, and it's Shushan Purim today. Shushan, the capital of ancient Persia, which was actually the place where the Purim miracle took place, and it's actually the place where the second day of Purim was celebrated. In fact, it's still celebrated in certain places in the world, such as Jerusalem. So I'm going to take the liberty of invoking an insight from the Book of Esther to kind of shine some light, no pun intended, of where we can find those sparks of light in our dark world when we are just confronted with all this darkness all the time. So let's go to the Book of Esther, and sometimes it's most helpful to just for the sake of contrast, to look at the villain and see how we can go ahead and glean some insights of what not to do when we look at the behavior of the villain and his attitude and characters. In this case, it's Haman, the Haman, who is the villain of the Purim story. And he, in fact, hatches this plot of genocide. He wants to go ahead and kill out all the Jewish people. Now, this actually almost occurred. He was very influential with the king of Persia. And you think, who cares about the king of Persia? But back then, the king of Persia was the superpower of the world. Persia had defeated the Babylonians. The Babylonians had defeated the king of Judea and destroyed the first temple. Now the Persians had defeated the Babylonians, and as the Book of Esther begins, he was influential over 127 lands. And now not only was Persia a dominant economic power, was an economic military power, and was basically a dictatorship. And this evil Haman, who was a rabid anti-Semite, convinces the king to go ahead and destroy this ethnic group known as the Jews. And he is so influential that he's able to go ahead and get this legislation passed fairly quickly. So this person who, you know, is we know as the evil Haman, the evil Haman, seems to have it all in terms of materialism. He's incredibly influential. He obviously can just whisper things into the most powerful person in the world, you know, the king of Persia. He's incredibly wealthy, as we learn in the Book of Esther. And not only that, there's this law passed in ancient Persia, wherever Haman is walking around, people are actually bowing down to him. People are actually bowing down to this guy. So he's incredibly powerful, influential, is incredibly wealthy. So you think that this guy has it all in terms of power and influence. And what else could he want? So we see this is a very telling incident in the Megillah. He's in fact invited to a VIP dinner in the personal residence of the king and queen. Now, he doesn't know why it's happening. We know why Esther wanted him there, because she was going to plead on the behalf of the Jewish people. But it was considered an incredible honor. So the way I can just like set the context, to set the table to we can get an appreciation of what kind of honor it is, to try to picture somebody being invited today to the personal residence of the president and the first lady. So not just the White House, but the East Wing of the White House. So like if you think about, I've been to the White House personally a couple times, probably three or four times. A couple times just as a regular citizen taking a tour, a couple times I was part of a group. But this was always in the West Wing, you know, just part of a group going through the White House, so on and so forth. And even just to get to that, just to give you an idea of how controlled access is to get to the highest, you know, palace in the land, so to speak. You know, it's not called a palace, it's called a house, but for all intents and purposes, a place where the president of the United States lives. It's a palace. It's most powerful person in the world lives there. So today in the United States, if you want to visit the White House, you have to reserve. It's not open to the public. You can't just like walk up there and say, I want to, I'd like to take a tour of the White House. That doesn't work that way. You have to reserve tickets with your congressman. So your congressman can get you tickets, but it's 6 months in advance. So like today, we're talking about March. So probably September is probably the earliest time that he can get you tickets. She can get you tickets. And then the Secret Service does a background check on you. And even if on kids, if you're taking kids, they'll do a background check. And then once you get there, you have to get there a couple hours earlier, of course, and you go through multiple security checks, including, dogs are sniffing you. And then once you're there, you are like going through a very tightly controlled area. You're not even like really going through like rooms. You're just like going through a hallway, like picking your head into like these like public rooms, and definitely not going anywhere near the personal residence. I remember I was one time taking a group of school children on a class trip. And there was a student there that was asking one of the Secret Service agents, like, what's beyond the certain area? He said, that's the East Wing. That's the personal residence. So the student asked the Secret Service agent, now, what happens would be if I just, like, run through and go to the other side? So he said, well, you would be arrested and, we'd detain you. And, running into a secure area where the president lives, and we're not sure when you would actually be released. So at that point, I just let the student know that if he chose to do that, I'd be leaving him in Washington, and let his parents go ahead and travel up to Washington to go ahead and work and get him released. This was not part of what I thought was the teacher's responsibility to try to obtain his release. So, thank God the student was just, I think he was just curious. He found that and just continued with us. The point I'm trying to make is to get invited to the personal residence of the highest office of the land is extremely difficult. The evil Haman was invited not once but twice to the personal residence of the king and queen. So let's imagine today someone being invited to the personal residence of the president and the first lady of the United States. Doesn't matter if you like the president of the United States, you don't like the president of the United States. It's the office of the presidency that we're talking about, and a person gets invited to to this office. It's incredibly high honor, incredibly high honor. You think about the guy that gets to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Just mentioning that one other thing. Guy, every year there's an auction to have lunch with Warren Buffett. I believe it's auctioned off for about a few $100,000 to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Okay, no comment on that. Maybe we'll have another future podcast on the value of having lunch with Warren Buffett. But in any event, so, this guy's invited to the highest office in the land. And, you think he'd be flying high, incredibly wealthy, incredibly influential. He just get whatever idea he has passed this legislation. He wants to eliminate ethnic group, no problem. People are bowing down to him wherever he walks. He gets invited to like the most VIP exclusive dinners with the highest office in the land, the personal residence of the king and queen of the world. He comes home. You think he'd be thrilled, but he's actually depressed. Why is he depressed? He's depressed because he says to his wife as follows. He says, I have all this wealth, power, and fame, but I'll just say it in the Hebrew and then I'll translate it in English. He says, V'chol zeh, and everything I have, ein ano shel v'li, none of it matters to me, because whenever I see Mordechai Yehudi, Mordechai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate, and he doesn't bow down to me, that just eats me up alive. It just consumes me with rage. So let's just pause right there for a moment. Now, here's the man that has everything. He has wealth, power, fame, influence. He has like people bowing down to him. People like, he's getting invited to all the VIP cocktails. You can't even imagine how great in power his influence is. And what's not working out for him? There's one guy in his mind, one dirty Jew, who's not bowing down to him. Okay, so you think, okay, what's the big deal? So who has everybody liking him all the time? Who has 100% popularity? Who's going to win the 100% popularity contest all the time? Who's going to have everything going for him all the time? Like, what's the big deal? Who's, which team is going to go? We're about to start the baseball season, so of course we have to talk, talk of the day. Which baseball every baseball team plays 162 games a year. So which baseball team is going to go 162-0? Not one. Never. Like, a great baseball team may win 100 games. Like really great team may win 110 games. And those are considered, meaning the greatest teams of all times are going to lose 50 games a year. So no one's going to have 100% success all the time and be perfect all the time with everything they do and every endeavor that they engage in. So what's this guy getting so bent out of shape with the one thing that's not going well for him in his life? He's saying, v'chol zeh inenu shoveli, none of this matters to me. Okay, let's continue the tape right now. So go back to the tape. So he has his wife say to him, honey, what should she say to him, first of all? You say, so, honey, you're right. There's this one guy that doesn't give you the time of day, but look what you do have. You have a wonderful family. You have health. You have wealth. You have power. You have fame. You have influence. Okay, so you have one dirty Jew that doesn't like you. So you're not going to have everyone love you all the time. But she says, you're right, honey. You have one guy that doesn't like you. Let's just assassinate him right now. Let's just kill him right now. Yasu Eitz Gavo Chamisha Mama. Let's just go ahead and prepare the gallows right now. You don't deserve to have anybody disrespect you like that. So Haman became so consumed with his hatred and rage for, in his mind, the dirty Jew Mordechai, that drove him crazy. He couldn't sleep at night. He went to the king's palace at night with the plot to go ahead and assassinate Mordechai the Jew. And that eventually led to his undoing, because that eventually led to Haman's fall and Haman's own demise. But I want to bring it back to all of us, because before we say, what a crazy guy this Haman, he had everything in life going for him, and one silly thing that wasn't going for him, why can't he just focus on the good? I want to ask all of ourselves this question, because for all of ourselves, we don't have for our whole life or our whole day, not everything is going to be perfect every single time, every single day, all the time. If it's discussions with our family, situations with our family, or situations with our friends, or in our community, or in our workplace, or other environments, we're always going to have the good and the bad. And there's going to be situations that are wonderful and gratifying and fantastic. And there's going to be situations which are, saddening and deflating and demoralizing. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what are we going to focus on? Because happiness, as the wise people of the world have taught us, is a choice. Are we going to go ahead and embrace the good things and internalize that and focus to be happy in our lives? Are we going to go ahead, and forgive me for saying this, take the attitude of the evil Haman, the evil Haman, and say, v'chol zeh inenu shoveli, none of this matters to me. I may have health, and I may have a good family, and I may have, other good things working for me, but there's one situation in life. There's one guy that ticks me off all the time, who doesn't give me the time of day, whatever it is. There's one factor in life, and everybody, has their particular area of frustration, because believe me, we all have one area that frustrates us, because that's life. We live in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and those imperfect people cause us frustration. So the question is, for ourselves, what are we going to focus on? Are we going to make the healthy choice of saying, yes, let's look at the win and loss column and say, yes, there are going to be losses over here, but you know what? I'm not going to focus on that, because if I get to go ahead and put my feet down you know, on the floor in the morning from the bed. I get to make the blessing. God gave me the blessing that my feet are able to go ahead and touch the floor. And that's a blessing because not everybody's able to do that. So there was a frustrating situation in life. But you know, I'm not going to focus on that. Are we going to go ahead and be unraveled and consumed by what we do not have, or by what frustrates us, by what frustrated Haman? Well, you know, and that led to his undoing. So folks, there's so much darkness around. There's so much sadness. There's so much tragedy. There's so much frustration, and there's so much stress. And sometimes I like to think about, like, where are we going to go ahead and find those sparks of light? How are we going to go ahead and grab onto those nuggets, but not just hold on to those nuggets of light? How are we going to go ahead and hold on to them and just, like, bring them in close to our chest and just, like, infuse them and internalize it? And I think that's the key, one of the keys. The keys is able to go ahead and make that conscious decision to turn away from the mindset of Haman. And to say that we're never going to go ahead and say, B'chol ze'enenu shovali. We're never going to say all this is not worth it. Because we have frustrations, we have stresses, and we have days which are not which are not complete successes. But you know what? All in all, we are going to make the choice to say, thank God for what we do have. And when we're able to go ahead and say that, we're going to look beyond the darkness. We're going to look beyond the sadness. We're going to look beyond the challenges. And we're going to be able to say, there is light in the world. There are these sparks. And I'm going to go ahead and internalize that light and bring that close to me. Thank you all, and happy Shushan Purim.